The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The 1990 sequel that wasn't too bad at the time, but in light of the last two sequels, looks like a fucking masterpiece.
This is Die Hard 2 on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francis Grandin.
And I'm Nathan Lamadrid, guesting again.
Yeah. Welcome back, Nathan. It's been a little bit.
I think the last one I did was Extreme Prejudice.
It was.
Yeah.
It was one of our special episodes.
Yeah, last year sometime.
Your pick.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. All right.
And we are back to talk about 1990s. Amazing action movie. Well, was it amazing? We'll discuss.
Yeah.
But it's Die Hard Part 2.
Die Hard Part 2.
Die Harder.
Yeah.
They never made Die Hardest?
No, but I can see them kind of.
I mean,
trying.
That's just Bruce Willis's career.
Oh, dude.
Really hope
I'm gonna make a lot of I'm gonna make a lot of those jokes today.
Career yeah. jokes in this one.
A lot.
It's kind of hard not to. It sucks, but it's just kind of hard not to.
Nathan's there because he works at an airport.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So I have that insight, sort of.
You can tell us all about how the details are inaccurate.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's seen several plane crashes. 14 guys going through the jet engines.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen William Sadler, who plays the villain in this film, a few times just walking around.
Yeah.
And it's a little, I'm going to admit it, I'm a fan, but it's a little unnerving.
Yeah.
It's a little unnerving.
He shouldn't be back there.
He should not.
Why is he in the cargo?
No, I was going to ask him, and then he just disappeared. I don't know what the fuck is happening.
I mean, other people have asked him, and they've disappeared. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, it's William Sadler. Yeah. I'm not that surprised. I'm lucky I'm here.
He's got all he's fallen pretty hard if he's like targeting Tucson Airport.
Oh yeah. It's like major airports, the one in the DC one in the movie. They're not paying off as much, I guess. Now I don't know what the hell it is.
Well,
it's a damn shame.
We finally got Allegiant flying out of here.
Do we though?
We didn't used to have Allegiant.
Yeah,
we're moving up in the world.
Yep, moving up.
So, 1990, Die Hard Part 2, Rennie Harlan stepping into the director's chair.
Right. Yeah.
What are the numbers on this one?
First of all, what's the last movie that Rennie Harlan directed before this one?
Before this, I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street 4, if I remember right. I think his first movie was another horror movie called Prison. I remember seeing that on TV. I remember it was kind of decent.
If I remember right, Nightmare on Elm Street was kind of his big break. He had done very small,
movies. Well, like Prison, that did get released here.
Yeah.
But I remember being decent, but it's been a long time since I've seen it.
But Nightmare on Elm Street 4, though, arguably the second best Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street was one of those horror film franchises in the 80s that was on fire. It was bulletproof, you know?
Which one was Dream Warriors 3?
3 was
Part
Dream Warriors.
Part 3, and then Part 4 was Dream Master,
Okay.
Yeah, so, Dream Master, then Dream Child.
Then Dream Child, and then...
Then Freddy's Dead, the horrible one, and then Wes Craven's...
Oh, thankfully.
Very, very good.
Wes Craven coming back and saving the damn franchise.
The new Nightmare?
Yeah, exactly.
The very fourth wall-breaking new Nightmare?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, so good. Yeah. Ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, yeah.
Back in 1990, this movie made $21,744,000.
Damn.
It's good that it cracked 100.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first one was such a huge hit, and usually we see a big drop-off in part two.
Sometimes, although this one, I think the first one was a big hit, but it became more of a hit as time went on.
Yeah.
The first Die Hard became like an instant classic.
Yeah, like right off the bat.
And then this movie is not bad.
Yeah. It's not. And it kind of, you know, it's like it warms my heart to see Bruce Willis make not garbage.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. We'll get to that a little later.
Probably. Yeah. IMDb Bruce Willis right now. Look at the last 15 movies he made.
probably the last 20.
Garbage. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, that's rough.
I mean, you want to include Shyamalan's in there? Yeah, go ahead.
Damn.
Glass.
Glass isn't that good.
Yeah. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I like Glass. I thought it was all right.
I thought it was decent.
But it had, you could have cut 25 minutes out of that
one. Yeah. I mean, Glass is at least a movie, unlike many of the other ones he's been in.
Yeah.
They're just cop stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly, yeah. I mean, I know he's played I think one or two is him as a villain,
Was it Marauders?
Probably. Yeah. I think so.
And Motherless Brooklyn is a completely acceptable, you know, 100 minutes of your time. But Bruce Willis is only different from
the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, and Bruce Willis is in 3 minutes of the movie, maybe five minutes.
He's had time, man. Like, he's already, Red, I think, is probably like his last big
franchise
action one. Yeah. I think now he's going to have to do like some cameos, dude. He's going to play a senator. He's got to play. Yeah.
Well, like he did in Motherless Brooklyn. It sounds like a cameo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it totally is. Yeah.
So he's already started.
Spoiler for Motherless Brooklyn, but he's in like the first, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of the movie. And then
that's it, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's going to have to do that. He's going to have to do the cameos for a little while.
Yeah.
And then get old enough to play the older guy with, like, kind of falling in love with a young girl.
He could do that.
Lesson translation type of thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Or, you know, there's always the classic, dad or grandpa figure.
Yeah.
He can slide into that Alan Arkin, John Leguizamo, we're trying to talk about. But John Lithgow is who I was thinking about. Yeah.
Robert De Niro to an extent.
Robert De Niro or fucking Robert Duvall.
No kidding.
No one played an old man like Robert Duvall played
Nobody could.
No. Michael Caine?
Michael Caine.
Oh,
Michael Caine's got that awesome movie where he kills his fucking neighbors.
Oh, Harry Brown.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He's like a vigilante.
His neighbors shouldn't have been some fucking punks.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been them punk
they're
kids.
Punks, yeah. They're always punks.
And they always think they can fuck with Michael Caine.
You cannot fuck with Michael Caine.
All right, let's start this movie. It starts off with he's in D.C. for some reason.
He's there waiting for his wife, I guess, to land, and I think they're
going to his wife's, from what I understand, his wife's family lives in D.C.
That's what it is, yeah. She's coming in from L.A.
Right.
Where she was, like,
and he came in from L.A. earlier for some reason. I guess she had to stay behind for work.
That's probably, like 6 hours earlier.
Yeah, so where did the car come from?
He had a car. Okay, so it starts off with his car is getting towed.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
Because he parked it illegally. Because back then, you could just park a car right where you drop off customers and people and then leave for 4 days.
Yeah.
And the car would just still be there. It would just be covered in snow. People would be like, what an idiot.
Yeah.
He parked his car there.
Yeah.
But back then, you could just park it wherever you want.
I mean, he does get towed.
He does get towed, yeah.
That's you know why?
Because, he gets a ticket.
Yeah, because back then, this was America. That's why.
Goddamn right. And
land of the free, Francisco.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of how free we are.
Are you?
That's another discussion. I think that's another podcast altogether. But so he's getting towed. I think it's like he's been there already for a while, it seems
like. Yeah, he's been there for a while already.
Because he's waiting to pick up his wife, whose plane is running late.
Yeah, because the car is in a rental.
Also, why isn't he in the car?
Why isn't he in there? Well, I guess he had to go get a bite, or
maybe
he could have driven to go get a bite and come back.
Well, maybe he had to go use one of the many, many payphones.
Possibly. Yeah, they were everywhere back then.
Yeah, this is a movie that's big on 1990 technology. A lot of payphones, airplane phones.
I mean, the first thing that his wife is like, "This is 1990. It's the time of computer chips."
Yeah, she tells him that.
VCR, you gotta
get
fax.
You gotta get with today, man.
Fax machines.
Fax machines are happening.
These are fax machine times. Damn.
Yeah.
The future is now.
And Bruce Willis is like, nah, technology, no good.
Yeah. All I need is a gun.
Yep.
And a fucking roast beef sandwich.
Yeah.
and a handful of witty one-liners. I mean,
sure. Yeah.
He shoots those faster than he does his gun.
Hey. He's getting towed. Yeah. He does not like that.
No, of course not.
But then
he's getting towed by the voice of Pumbaa.
The guy who voices Pumbaa.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his name, but this is one of those.
I mean, he's a guy you'll recognize. Yeah, he's been in like
everybody.
Movies,
everybody in this fucking movie is one of those guys.
Just
that you
about a lot more than I remember. I mean, it's been a while since
way
I've seen
more.
It.
Yeah.
But then we showed the bad guys, and it's one Meat from Porky's.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Nathan was here for Porky's as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did Porky. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Great comedies.
Meat from Porky shows up. Yep. They're going to a church where a guy's like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. He says something witty to him. And
of course.
He's like, I can't remember what he says, but he shoots a guy in the face.
Yeah.
And then they take over. So it turns out that Sadler?
William Sadler.
Yeah.
Turns out that Sadler is he's like a general that's kind of like disgraced a little bit, right? He's on the news a lot for being like...
Something's happened,
yeah. And then he's in the airport. They spot him. Bruce Willis spots him. Just like real quick, they bump into each other.
They kind of recognize each other.
Yeah, they kind of recognize each other. And then they go into his church and they take over this church.
Yeah. Also, the first time we see William Sadler in this, he's watching TV in a hotel room.
That's right.
Bare ass naked and throwing like karate moves.
Yeah,
and
doing
shit.
Karate.
He's watching naked a report. Karate. Yeah, he's watching a report about some South American drug dealer or drug lord or something, or a Central American drug lord who is being extradited to America to stand trial and stuff.
Yes.
And as it turns out, there's another reason why he's got an interest in this report.
But he's buck-ass naked. Tai Chi or whatever? Something. That's slow.
He's doing stuff? Katas.
I think, yeah, there you go.
He's doing naked katas.
Copious amounts of katas.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't see his cock this time.
No, but hey.
I mean,
he's not Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to throw his wang out and everything.
He's not Will Smith.
Will Smith in Wild West. So it turns out, because we just talked about it, you see his cock in that movie.
Are you serious?
Like his cock and balls in that movie.
Wasn't it like PG-13?
Yeah. It sure was.
It sure was.
How the fuck did
you,
that happen?
You remember that shot in Django where he's hanging upside down and you see his balls?
Yeah.
It's like that same shot.
No shit.
It's not like that, but it's like he slides down in front of the camera and you see balls. Listen to the podcast, guys. We talk about it.
Oh, my God. It's been so long I've seen Wild Wild West. Yeah. I remember not much caring for it, but I just don't remember this scene. God,
yeah, nobody does.
Weird.
We don't see Sadler's cock and balls in this one.
No.
But his body.
But you know what? Rest assured, I'm sure they're magnificent.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're magnificent.
There's a lot of attractive men in this one.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. Yeah. Not so much with the ladies this
not
time
so
around.
Not so much with the ladies.
The hottest woman is Bonnie Bedelia, who played his wife in the first
one. That's right.
She reprises her role here.
She goes back to, in my opinion, the most unnecessary of the part of the whole movie.
You think?
The wife reporter shit, out the window.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Even the reporter,
Yeah, you give him a little bit of the, like, you give him more, like, this is personal, but maybe killing 250 people is a little personal.
Yeah. mean, maybe he's just a good person that doesn't want to see thousands of people get killed.
Yeah, he's a hardcore cop, and, you know, he knows right off the bat at the beginning of the movie something's going on. He notices one or two things, and he knows some fuckery is afoot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he spots the two guys, and then he's like, oh, shit, something's going on. I'm a cop. I know this stuff. He tries to tell a cop, but it turns out it's a cop that told him. So he's like, nah, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. He follows them into security, and then he, like, they're going through, like, luggage and shit.
Yeah,
they're going through the luggage area.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is where Nathan works.
Sort of, yeah. Kind of.
It's all conveyor belts and crushing dudes, like, the fucking toothpaste. Like in Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom,
Yep.
That's all it is. Right
pretty much.
It's all dudes getting crushed and conveyor belts.
A few gunshots, but you know.
It's all that worst scene in all of Star Wars from Attack of the Clones.
Where it's just conveyor belts.
Yeah, just conveyor belts and things getting smashed.
And when you walk in there, the music, it's like. And it's just 45 conveyor belts. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
They're just packages going everywhere. Yeah. It's like the doors in Monsters, Inc.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, right. Yeah. Pretty much.
But anyway, he's like, hey, guys, what are you doing here? And they're like, oh, we work here. And he's like, let me see some ID. And then they do that movie thing, which is instead of being like, oh, you know what?
I forgot my locker.
I forgot my locker, but if you wait right here, or like, what are you doing here? Like, are you a supervisor? Just some shit.
Yeah.
They pull out a gun and start shooting at him immediately.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a wrong move for John McClane.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, they didn't know who they were messing with.
That's right.
They're about to find out.
Apparently, they didn't know what happened last year around that time at Little Tower back in L.A.
Yeah, I do like that enough people talk about it.
Right, everyone, right? Yeah. Hey, you're that hero cop.
It was big
news. Tommy Plaza. Yeah.
He was on Dateline and shit.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
I do like that because it would have been stupid if they just pretended like they don't know. Like, who the fuck are you, guy? Yeah. I mean, a couple of times they say that.
Yeah, exactly. But mostly everyone knows because it was national news. Something like that. As it would be, national news. Absolutely. So. He starts shooting these guys, and he gets one of them, and like he's trying to convince the main security guy, played by Dennis Franz,
in
all his Brooklyn glory, you know that this is what's happening. But of course, they don't listen.
Yeah. In part one, we had Val Johnson, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Reginald Val Johnson, who makes a cameo
in this, but Reginald Val Johnson always plays a cop.
Yeah.
So in this movie, they were like, who else always plays a cop?
And they looked over in Dennis Franz's direction. And they're like, oh,
he's already dressed like a cop from two other movies.
At least two other movies.
Get on the set, buddy.
Yeah.
Dennis Franz is like, someone say cop?
No shit.
I brought the suit from home.
I already got the suit, guys. I'm ready to go. And they're like, get in here. Get in front of this camera, Dennis Franz. Do your thing, baby.
Say some cop shit.
Yeah.
You got it.
Oh, man.
I mean, he sounds super New York cop.
Yeah, for being
a DC guy.
That's all.
Perfect. Yeah.
Again, he's played that same role for 30 years. So
yeah, the one time, and I recently saw this movie is that this Brian De Palma movie called Blowout. That's really good. He's in it, but he's not a cop. He's like some sleazy guy who takes sleazy pictures of women with like important people, like senators and stuff.
I can totally see him playing.
Yeah. And he's pitch perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, just as much as he's as good as he is as a cop in movies. He was perfect for as this fucking sleazeball role, too. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's like love and hate. Mustache?
Yes, he did. When has he never had facial hair? Yeah. Seriously.
I was hoping that he had no facial hair so that it was even more.
Oh, that would be
I think
weird.
Once he hit puberty, he let it grow, and that was it.
Mustache
maybe
forever.
Maybe he trims it back a little, maybe. That's about it. But he just kept it. And
probably no upper lip, dude. It's just probably it's his hair coming
could
down.
Could be. Yeah. It could be. I wouldn't doubt it. But yeah, so he played that sleazeball. But yeah, mostly he's cops.
Yeah.
Then we get introduced to Fred Thompson, who's the guy running the whole...
Who, I didn't know this. I found out a bit of trivia about old Fred Thompson today.
Yes. Yeah,
he's a real-life lawyer, and he proceeded with the fucking Watergate trial.
He was a part of the fucking Watergate trial.
I guess he's in a ton of old footage from the Watergate trial, like a ton of it. And in fact, they showed him in the JFK movie, they showed him in the stock footage and like the old footage of it.
No shit. That's another one I haven't seen in a long time, man.
Yeah.
To YouTube. Later.
YouTube to watch it in pieces. To watch just the best scenes.
Yeah, probably. It's like, oh man, there he is.
And they'd be like, oh yeah.
You see, and this is like another one of those character actors you've seen in a million fucking movies.
Oh yeah, that's
more TV shows. He's on Law and Order. You know, all of the Law and Orders, I think. Shit, I mean, he's like the major prosecutor or something. I don't know what though. But he's a big part of that. He's been in a million movies. And then, like I earlier today, we find out he was an actual lawyer.
They were probably like, "We need a lawyer," and he's like, "You guys call?"
Yeah, he just opened the door. It's like, "You called?
Line order?
Right here."
It's cool. I always do like it when regular people start acting and they just become big actors.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fun.
Like, what's his name from the Hangover movies and Community?
Yeah, Ken Jeong.
Ken Jeong. Yeah. That's right. He was a doctor.
He was just Judd Apatow's doctor.
Judd Apatow's doctor.
Judd Apatow was just like, you're funny. Yeah.
He came in to do one scene in, was it the
Two scenes
Knockout?
Knocked Up. In the beginning,
He's everywhere. He's Community, Hangover. Yeah. He's got shows on TV.
He's doing stand-up and shit.
He's got two variety shows on TV.
Yep.
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know,
yet again, it just goes to prove the old showbiz adage.
Yeah.
Go to school for 8 years, become a doctor, go to Hollywood, have famous people as clients, and you're a star, baby.
You're in.
You can also do that by teaching them like martial arts and shit.
That's true, Steve Seagal style.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Or by fucking them.
Yeah.
I guess you can go that route.
Just be a fuckboy.
Yeah, Bridget Nelson, Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. That's true.
Just get it in.
Just toss it in there.
Yeah.
But
also, I do think that Sadler's, he's a good bad guy.
Yeah.
But he definitely doesn't have the same like back and forth that they had in the
Rickman.
First.
Rickman. Absolutely.
It's lacking in that.
I mean, it's hard. But it's Rickman.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to pull that off without just being like, oh, they're just doing the same fucking
movie. That's true. Yeah. They kind of had to do something.
I'm pretty impressed with the level at which they do the same movie again, but different enough that it never really seems like it.
Yeah. It doesn't really repeat itself all that much.
Watching it again, it's better than I remembered. I do think it's too long.
It's probably a little too long.
Yeah, maybe 1 or 2 minutes. Maybe.
I mean, like you said, they could get rid of some of the wife stuff.
They could get rid of the wife reporter shit.
All that shit can go out
the window. Huh. You just set up that the wife is up there. That's all the motivation needs.
Or even, again, just, you know, innocent people.
Yeah,
I mean, they end up with... how many planes are up there at one point that have to circle around?
I don't know, 50 planes or some shit.
Like 5 or 6 maybe. But
there's 1,000 planes up there, Francisco.
Yeah, there's 40,000 planes up there. I remember. Yeah.
That's right.
That's clear. They very clearly say that.
The sky was covered in planes.
So you couldn't even see the stars.
John McClane goes up there and he's like...
Except for on the screen.
Some shit's going down, guys. And they're like, hey, get out of here. Yeah, cop. Get the fuck out. Like they usually do.
Yeah, of course.
And then all the lights go out in the whole airport, on the whole runway.
Well, before that, that's the Reginald Vell Johnson thing where he faxes him the fingerprints, which I also did love. He's like, why don't you go down there and take some fingerprints in the baggage area of an airport?
Like in the bags?
Yeah.
That have already probably been loaded onto fucking planes and shit.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Well, I assume that
also a fax in 1990 coming through with crystal clear fingerprints that you can read. Yeah.
There's no way.
Probably not. I mean, I never did a fax. There's no way. I understand, you know, they weren't exactly perfect.
They're not perfect.
It's just squares.
I worked for a financial institution that was still doing faxes up until about, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Holy shit.
And you couldn't read that shit. And it's now times.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's words and you couldn't read it half the time.
Also, I do think that at all times, especially like an airport like in DC, at all times, there's somebody in one of the bags.
Yeah.
So they should have just like be like, oh yeah, somebody's like smuggling a person in one of these bags. Yeah. So we just gotta look it up.
Yeah.
Which one of you guys? Which one of your bags has a person in it?
Yeah.
Come on now,
and so you, smack him. Hey, you in there?
We'll look the other way.
Yeah, really.
Hey, I'm just an Italian guy. Sending you myself on a plane.
Oh no, I can't go back to mama. Some of that.
I saw the whole thing.
Yeah. Reginald Van Johnson sends him back a fax, and calls him on the phone. He tells him that the guy is dead, but he's been dead for like 2 years.
So classic extreme prejudice.
Oh yeah. Yep. go listen to our Extreme Prejudice podcast. You'll know the
classic Extreme Prejudice.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Extreme Prejudice was the first time they used that in a movie. I really don't know.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't, but
no,
people have been faking their deaths since Machiavelli.
But this was also Extreme Prejudice was what, 4 years before this?
87. So
yeah, 3 years. About 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. But if
so, he might have watched it and been like, "Yeah, I'm gonna take that."
Yeah. So right there, that's another red flag. It's like, wait, this guy's been dead for 2 years, but I just shot him right now because he was trying to shoot me. What's going on?
Yeah. That's when he shows up and he's like, "You're dealing with pros here."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Get out of here, McClane.
Yeah.
We don't need you, McClane.
You're a loose cannon.
You're a loose cannon. You're playing too loose, McClane.
You may be in a hot shot over there, but it's DC.
I got the commissioner on my ass about you. It's like, we're in a fucking tower.
Yeah. That is basically Dennis Franz's whole character.
Oh, yeah. And he's got
the mayor's going down my throat about this.
Thick New York accent. So there's no way he's from DC.
No.
Yeah. He moved. The money was good out in DC.
No,
so
that's
I'll take
fine.
It.
He was just over the divorce, obviously.
Probably. Yeah. Maureen took everything. Maureen took everything.
Even though she was the one having an affair, she still took everything and the kids.
Yeah.
Typical New York divorce, man. Jesus,
I mean, I know he's got a little bit of a temper, but maybe it was exacerbated for the fucking courts.
I think so.
He never hit her.
Yeah.
Never pushed her or anything like that.
No.
He's a cop. He's got stress. He's a cop in New York.
The stuff he had to deal with in New York. You know,
you should have seen the bodies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Piled up.
Good Lord.
He was probably a cop back in like 1979, Pimp New York.
Yeah,
He was probably one of the cops looking for the Son of Sam.
Yeah,
exactly. He had to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
Holy
shit. And then in divorce, you bring his temper up?
Taxi drivers and fucking prostitutes. Underage prostitutes just roaming the streets everywhere you look.
Pimps everywhere? Yeah. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
Man, New York sounded amazing back then. But anyway.
Yeah, then he had to go to D.C., and then he couldn't even be a normal cop in D.C. He had to be like an airport cop.
He's he's like the captain, it seems like, of the airport police, but...
You get videotapes beating up one black guy.
I swear.
Also, like, he's at an age where he can't get young chicks. Like, he's gonna... He's by himself for now.
Without paying some serious cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Then maybe, okay, well, maybe we can talk, but, you know, that...
Or maybe he gets like a real Perlman or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito already wrecked that.
That's true.
And his wife is still fucking that fucking pool boy. So, you know. Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fernando.
Jesus. I feel a lot better for him.
I feel like
I understand him.
You're like, you know what, Bruce Willis, give the guy a break.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got enough on his plate. You come over here and throw this on top. Come on.
Yeah. He's just trying to get through a Christmas.
Oh, man.
He's still got to call his kids and try and explain why he can't be with them.
No, he still has to drive, like, from D.C. to New York.
Oh, God. To go
see his kids. Yeah. In the snow and shit.
In the snow.
That's not happening.
It's a rough drive.
It's not happening.
And his wife got him way better gifts than he did.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't know them that well.
Well, that's because he's still playing alimony, even though she makes more than he does.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He still has to pay, though, because he got screwed in the courts.
Like, and God help him if he misses a fucking payment.
Yeah. And he's getting his kids gifts that they would have liked 2 years ago, but they're not into him anymore.
Yeah, because he doesn't know the kids anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they're super disappointed.
Because goddamn Marine took all of the time.
He buys them an Atari 2600. They're on Nintendo.
Yeah, they're already. Yeah, exactly. This is 90. They're on Nintendo already.
Yeah, they're on Contra and shit.
I thought you guys liked the Atari, and they're like, oh, Dad.
When we were three.
So they're disappointed in him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then he feels like way less of a man.
Exactly. Wow, this turns into a lot about Dennis Franz's character. Man, we give him all kinds of backstory.
I mean,
so then,
why wouldn't you?
The good old Sadler turns off all the lights, and then he takes over the frequency so they can't talk to the planes. They do tell the planes, to circle. They're so like circle around, and then that's when
all the lights are gone. They can't see the runway.
All the runway lights,
and it's you know, snow, blizzard time.
Yeah,
so it's even worse.
Yeah,
it's not like they're landing in Cancun or nothing, where it's just daytime all the time.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
Alaska.
It's just shots of tequila all the time. Yeah, exactly.
Alaska during insomnia times.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
During the solstice or whatever.
Yeah. The 30 days a night thing, yeah.
During the Robin Williams killing times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's exactly,
the time. Insomnia.
Insomnia, yeah.
Fabulous.
Spoiler alert for Insomnia. I mean, yeah. You know he's the villain going in.
Yeah.
It's in every fucking trailer.
So, Sadler takes over with his good old henchman, Meat, like we said, and then one Johnny Legs.
Johnny
Leguizamo. Blink and you'll miss him.
Well, and also, I mean, obviously, John Leguizamo, unique. We've heard him a lot, right? He does stand-up. He does his one-man shows on Broadway.
Yeah, he's got a star of stage and screen. He's got a very specific, like, Puerto Rican voice.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure he's recognizable just from the voice alone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, they dubbed his fucking one line over.
Of course.
Like, two lines.
Yeah. Two lines, actually, yeah.
And it sounds like a very white guy. It's so ridiculous.
It's me doing the voice.
Yeah, it couldn't be any further from John Leguizamo's voice. No, you even tried, you know. I was like, damn, they didn't give a crap. I didn't know Leguizamo. I'd spent, like you told these guys, it'd been a long time since I'd seen this movie.
I hadn't seen this movie in fucking decades.
Yeah, it's been a long time,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I had no idea Leguizamo was
I completely movie. Did not know,
until I was like, hey, there's John Leguizamo, holy shit.
Yeah, Johnny Legs right there.
Yeah,
then we also get introduced to, so like you said, we find out that they're trying to free this prisoner who was
general
in charge of some South American drug empire.
He himself is a drug lord, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a drug lord, but also it sounded like he was like the general in charge of a country.
That's right, because they called him general.
But turns out he was doing a little something on the side.
And I'm sure that's how he got his funding for everything.
Absolutely. I mean,
so he's gonna land.
So this is rooted in that reality.
But of course, this person also played
By the most beautiful, dashing man alive. Yeah.
Italian actor. He was especially a huge guy back in the 70s and 80s and stuff. And probably 60s. Franco Nero.
Yeah.
The original Django.
The original Django.
That's right. Spaghetti Western. One of the best spaghetti Western.
He has that cameo in the Django Unchained.
Django Unchained as the other.
He has a cameo in John Wick 2.
He runs the hotel over in Italy.
Makes sense. But in Rome, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Franco Nero's a great fucking man.
I forgot he was the villain in this, too.
Me, too.
And he is fucking.
It's goddamn charming.
But it might have been the last time I saw it, I didn't know who Franco Nero was. Or at least what he looked like enough to recognize him.
Yeah, probably, that's fair.
More than likely.
If it's Hugo Stiglitz, I'll fucking recognize Hugo Stiglitz any day of the week.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Beautiful son of a bitch. Beautiful not to kill son of a bitch.
Franco Nero. Actually, that would be a good fight. Look up Hugo Stiglitz's fucking great Spanish actor who did a lot of horror movies and then a lot of Mexican comedies.
Yeah.
But he's just like a tall, dashing, bearded dude. It would be a good fight between him and Franco Nero.
That'd be a hell of a scrap right there.
Yeah.
Goddamn. But Franco Nero's
both of them
guy.
Walk into a bar with a beautiful woman sitting at the bar. Which one goes home with her?
Ooh. I feel like... Stiglitz goes home with the girl, and then Franco Nero probably just takes home like a girl and a guy. Not to say anything, but the man was very like...
That makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It just does.
Like that swinging European back in the 70s.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly, man. Yeah,
anything went back
look
then,
up Franco Nero, see some of his scenes from his movies and shit, and this will make sense.
I think it's kind of like, he's kind of like Cary Grant, where he's just like a dashing, like very recognizable, very attractive guy, but you're like, was he gay? I don't know. Maybe
you're not sure. Like Rock Hudson was.
Yeah, like Rock Hudson. Yeah, maybe.
I think everybody's gonna know about it. Yeah.
Like you're like, oh yeah, he was walking down the street in a all white seersucker suit, and he was very, very like loud and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know.
You never know.
Or he could just be an actor.
Yeah. Or exactly. Yeah. It could just be an actor.
But yeah, Franco Nero, certified badass.
Yeah, it was a very pleasant surprise to see him.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And he's also a fucking badass in it.
Yes. He's
a general drug lord. Second of all, he's a rock star pilot.
Yes.
He's the best pilot in this whole movie, and there's 40 pilots in this movie.
At least 40 pilots.
Including...
One played by the Irish actor, Colm Meaney.
Colm Meaney. Colm Meaney didn't fucking land a plane.
Yeah.
Franco Nero lands that same exact plane.
And he does it just fine.
Window blown out.
That's right.
And not being able to see any snow.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's how badass he is.
Yeah.
And I doubt they get much snow down in whatever Central American or South American.
No, he talks about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and he still lands a motherfucker.
He's never seen snow before.
He's in
this
the
guy.
Caribbean.
The only snow he saw is the coquina.
The kind that goes in your nose. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a devil's
snow. That sweet nasal blizzard. That sweet Colombian nasal cleanser.
Yep.
But I mean, he's awesome. He's a great pick for this role. He's absolutely cool. There's also like other little actors.
I don't know what he's supposed to be, but he's like the technician or whatever in the tower. He's like, we can go down to the tower or this other little like center, and we can get back our, you know, whatever. We can talk like
the frequency to transmit back to the planes and stuff. Yeah, let them know what's happening.
That's all that really matters.
Because right now the planes are circling. They have no idea why, though.
Yeah, so he takes a couple guys to go down there. Sure enough, though, they're waiting for him. Bruce Willis already figured this out. Bruce Willis one step ahead.
And who's down there?
Oh yeah.
The T-1000.
Robert Patrick.
Goddamn T-1000. A young, unstoppable killing machine.
A young, supple Robert Patrick is one of the terrorists. Turns around, starts blasting on the cops and stuff. Yeah. And
until he runs into John McClane.
Until John McClane drops out of an air vent, as he is wont to do.
I do like that there is like, all right, we're going to go over there. You guys come here. Also, that weird LA cop, you come too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I also want to point out that it took John McClane a lot quicker time to get rid of Robert Patrick in this than it took Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2.
Well, it's because Edward Furlong was hindering him the whole time.
That's true.
This is actually
he was telling him not to kill people. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
He's like, you can't just go around shooting people. Dude, and I'm like, yeah, shoot people.
He's a Terminator, and he's not just killing anybody. He's trying to protect you from this fucking liquid robot who's trying to kill your ass.
Yeah. You come back from the future, you're killing people. I'm like, there's a reason for that.
Yeah. It's not, he's not just here for the fuck of it.
Let the man kill people. Yeah.
Yes.
He's got some shit he knows.
Yeah.
He knows
let the man terminate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It's the whole fucking,
his fucking name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in his
title.
The
point of his fucking thing. Yeah.
His name is not the guy not killing people late.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, I've never been
mad at Edward. It's like hiring the fucking Keebler elves and not letting them bake cookies.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what they do. You see, I've never been mad at Edward Furlong for anything, but now I'm kind of mad at him for T2 that, now. Yeah.
You tell me you've never been mad at Edward Furlong for anything? I'm mad at him for like 40 things.
Such as?
Stupid tour with those models.
I don't remember that.
The fact that he couldn't keep his shit together so he could keep
being
playing
John Connor,
John
every
Connor the whole time.
Yeah.
He would have been perfect agent every single
every
point
single
of the movie.
Movie.
Yeah.
He did make another one of the shitty Crow sequels, so okay, there's that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember which one, but it doesn't matter.
They made him an old man in the Puppet Master movie. And they're like, it was a retro Puppet Master or some shit like that.
I forgot he was in that.
Where he was 40, and they cast him as a 70-year-old man, so they just colored his hair white. Come on, man. Be mad at him for that. I'm mad at him for that.
Okay, now I'm mad from a lot of things. Okay.
Fair.
Come on, Edward Furlong. What the fuck?
Yeah. So, anyway, they go down there. They have a shootout. It's a good shootout. Yeah,
it's a good shootout. He drops a, like, paint rack, like one of those...
Scaffolding. He fucking kills this dummy pretty hard.
Oh, yeah, that dummy
gets
smashed.
It was brutal. Yeah. He smashed the fuck
right
out of that dummy.
Yeah.
Right in half. That whole thing,
it was hard.
He does that thing where he rolls a bunch while he's shooting that seems incredibly inefficient.
Oh, my God.
No,
and
here's
super
the thing
slow.
Why for that. Here's the thing why for that. This movie came out in 1990, and unbeknownst mostly to us, but I think to a lot of people who were in the know at the time.
And certainly Rennie Harlan.
Exactly. Yeah. The Hong Kong movies were coming out and stuff. I mean, the year before, John Woo had just hit the world with The Killer.
Yep.
It came out here maybe one or two years later, but you know,
the greatest fucking action movies were coming out of Hong Kong.
Exactly. Yeah. At the time, oh my God, the late 80s and early 90s, this was the shit. Yep. This was the shit. So I think he already knew that. And also it goes back to like, we were talking about, like, I've told you this, he made Nightmare on Elm Street 4, and the style that he made it, he got inspired by watching A Chinese Ghost Story. One of the biggest movies of the time.
Movies,
he knew his shit.
And if you look up Rennie Harlan now,
he
makes Hong Kong movies.
He's in Hong Kong. He's made at least three.
At least three. I mean, I think Skip Trace, which I think is the last one that's actually been released, was like a co-production.
But now he's done like straight up.
But yeah, he's done his Hong last Kong two movies that are supposed to come out soon are just straight up Chinese movies.
Yeah. So full circle, I guess. Yeah.
But if this was a Chinese action movie, he would be rolling in slow motion so it doesn't look as ridiculous.
And doves would be flying.
The thing was, it was a little bit in slow motion, but just not the same as like what John Woo was
doing. Yeah, not the dramatic way. Yeah.
I mean, you can tell that's kind of where Harlan was coming from. I was like, oh, I've seen The Killer. I've seen A Better Tomorrow 1 and 2, Just Heroes, you know, whatever. I think in 1990, Woo had maybe Bullet in the Head had come out. I think maybe Once a Thief. But yeah, he was already known. And like, I think a lot of other filmmakers at the time probably were kind of injecting that kind of thing in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they even talked about how like the last shootout in Walter Hill's Another 48 Hours, which is a great shootout.
That is a good
kind
shootout.
Kind of has a little bit of a Hong Kong flavor to it because he already knew about that stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they already knew that.
They kept up on that shit.
Exactly.
The action in this movie is pretty good. That sequence is really good when they're fighting those guys and they have the conveyor belt thing where he turns on the conveyor belt until the gun gets to him and he shoots the guy.
Yeah, but But meanwhile, another guy's coming at him to try and kill him. Right. So he's got to get the gun quick. You're like, oh, God, get the gun, get the gun.
There's a lot of good like tension building stuff like that because there's that scene where he's trying to get to the gun as he's trapped under the scaffolding. Yeah. And then the later, the plane is a really good back and forth where he's crawling out of the sewers or whatever that is.
Onto the runway.
Onto the runway, and the plane's coming, and he has to get out of the way just in time.
Fucking close.
He gets under the basement. He meets the janitor, the lovable janitor that helps him out through all the shit.
A little bit of comedy relief with the guy, you know. He's kind of that character.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of, like, plane shit where they're like, how do we talk to them? And then they figure out they have this beacon that always goes out. So, like, oh, we can talk to the beacon thing. So they tell the planes. But meanwhile, William Sadler, to prove his point, he crashes a fucking plane.
That's right.
A plane coming in from London.
Yeah, and British people. He that's an act of war, my friend.
Pretty much. He talks to them like he's
Revolutionary War II.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know that the guy talking to them is the leader of the fucking terrorists that are about to fuck them all up. They don't even know about the terrorists anyway. Yeah. But he convinces them, okay, you're clear to land. He's talking them down. You know, well, he's good at it. If he hadn't been a terrorist, he could have done this.
Yeah. But a con artist or an actor, maybe.
Exactly.
Or an air tower guy.
Air tower dude. He would have been good at it. But he convinces them that they're clear to land, but they do something where they
control of their computer terminals, so they set ground level to be
like 200 feet below where it crashes dead on.
Which it does and kills like.
McClane's plan is ridiculous. He's like, I'm going to stop the plane by lighting two torches and waving them. And then we're like, it's in the middle of a snowstorm.
I mean, in fairness, he was the only one doing anything.
That's true.
Yeah. And all he had, something. Yeah, he's in an empty room with scaffolding and flammable things.
And he's like, I'm going down there.
I got to do whatever I can.
That's something. True. That's even what he tells the other character just before it goes down there, I think. What are you going to do? Whatever I can. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least
he's thinking fast. He's thinking fast.
Yeah, at least, yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work out.
Yeah, they kill like 250 people in this movie.
At least. 300 on that plane alone. Fuck.
Yeah.
There's most of the body count of the movie right there.
All Brits.
Yeah.
Yep.
Including one very bitchy old lady.
Then they cut to Cole Meany, and he's just like, God, that's right, you British bastards. Burn in hell.
That's right. See Ireland, you fuckers.
You choose plane.
Yeah. In the name of Blue Sky, whatever that.
I like that he's like super into the plane crashing.
It works. It works.
Yep.
But so that like shows just how in control the terrorists are. So it shows you just like what McClane is really up against. I mean,
we get a lot of like the plane guys are trying to fix the plane shit. Very unnecessary. His wife and that sleazy fucking reporter from the first one,
William,
are on the same plane.
Atherton, I think, is the name of the actor.
I believe you're right. Yeah.
And he figures out a way to listen to the plane.
Finds out about the whole terrorist thing. Now he's got like the scoop.
Completely the part that you don't like. Yeah.
Completely unnecessary.
I don't mind it too much, but maybe bring the sleazy character
back from the first one just for that. Unnecessary.
Yeah. It is. You're
on the same plane. Yeah. Apparently,
you take out fucking 10 minutes out of this movie.
Yep.
Probably.
There's the blonde reporter that becomes McClane's friend.
Sort of.
And also, at first, she was like, I'm going to start investigating and figure out what's going on. And then she just disappears for an hour.
That's pretty true. Much.
Well, you know what? It's not her movie.
Exactly. That's true. But if you're going to set her up that way.
Then have something to do with her.
Yeah, exactly. At some point. Maybe. And actually, if you take the wife completely out of the equation. Yeah.
And just have the reporter.
Just have the reporter, then McClane has to like protect the reporter. And like,
she inadvertently becomes his partner through this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to get rid of fucking terrorists and stuff, but he also got to make sure the reporter doesn't get shot.
The classic Batman 89 or Ninja Turtles or...
Pretty much, yeah.
Lois Lane in every Superman movie?
Just about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks, Margot.
Also, I would hope at that point that they would cast someone more attractive than this chick, because...
To me, she looked like a reporter. She had that reporter look. I mean, I've seen those.
I don't know. I've seen some. Yeah, exactly. I've seen some pretty hot reporters.
Maybe these days, but I mean, back in then, like back in the 1990s, she looked like a typical reporter to me, man. I mean, shit. She was good in her role. I thought she was all right. But yeah, I mean, she wasn't 100% necessary to the movie, but that's fine. With these kind of movies, that happens a lot anyway.
But episode it's par for the course. Chick reporter, you end up in the mix. Yeah, I got Ninja Turtles. You know, you're a chick reporter, you end up in the mix.
Exactly.
Yeah, they kind of set that up. Or what's that, the Tommy Lee Jones movie where he's in Central Park? The pre-Rambo.
The park is mine.
The park is mine.
My dad rented that a long time ago. I remember that.
It's like a pre-Rambo Rambo.
Kind of. He was like a Vietnam vet, and he would take over the park. Yep. Yeah, there was a reporter, right?
But there's a reporter that befriends him.
That's right. I haven't seen that movie forever. Oh my god.
Yeah,
I remember digging it, but I don't remember too much.
Cool. I remember seeing it.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, my dad loved it. So he rented it a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a chick reporter and some action shit's happening, you're in the mix, man.
You're in the mix.
Yeah. You're usually, in the turtles.
Yeah, usually, but it didn't happen with this one. They decided to go a different direction.
Yeah, so. All the turtles want to fuck you. It's kind of weird.
You know.
Because they're turtles.
I mean, you know what happened.
Yeah. Hey, it worked in Shape of Water.
Yeah. That's true.
Hey, fuck it. There's always possibilities.
Weird little hammerhead penis that turtles, penite that turtles have.
I don't know if I've seen the length of their entire body, though, right?
Yeah. No it's shit. Like I did not know this.
Oh, it's a fucking weird looking thing. Yeah.
I got something else to look up on YouTube. Yeah. Okay. God damn, it's going to be a long night. Okay, so yeah, there's the report and stuff. They crash a plane.
Yeah.
They mean business. They're showing.
Finally, at this point,
they're in control.
Yeah. Someone,
Franco Nero kills the guy that helped them out.
Franco Nero and takes over the plane,
and that's when we're like, get the fuck out. He can fly the plane.
Yeah, fly the plane.
There's a gunshot through the window, so he loses cabin pressure. Yeah. And then he can't see anything, and he lands the fucking plane.
He lands that fucking plane. Despite Bruce Willis's best efforts.
Yep.
That's true.
But Bruce Willis hears that he's landing, and he hears where they're going to meet him. So then he's like, he tells Marvin, the underground fucking
janitor guy,
to let him show him where. So he comes out, and that's the scene you're talking about, where the plane almost crushes him with the wheels.
By the way, they have a big fight inside the plane. Yeah. He shoots Franco Nero in the shoulder, but at the same time, Sadler's dude show up.
Yeah.
And everyone gets away.
Shoot at him. They throw eight grenades
into the plane with McClane.
Yeah.
But he gets out by getting in the cockpit seat and ejecting. Yeah, gets out of there just as it blows up.
Those grenades take a while.
Yeah, they take a little longer than usual, it seems like.
Yeah, they take like a minute.
Yeah.
But there's a cool overhead shot of the explosion and McClane's flying through the air yelling, which I remember from the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big shot.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's true.
And he lives. He lives to fight another minute, I guess.
I don't know if you know this,
but John McClane dies hard.
It's all coming together. It's all making sense now.
Yeah.
It's taking a while, but it's all coming together. By the way, is Marvin the janitor? Is he the only janitor there? Because it seems like a big fucking airport.
He's like Hugo, dude. He's just living in the walls. Yeah. Nobody knows that he's really there, but he's doing some shit.
Oh, yeah. he's a Tom Hanks in Terminal situation. Yeah.
If you probably go through his shit, you'll find a weird mummified guy.
I mean,
there was his co-janitor that died there, and he just never did anything.
I mean, there's 100% that he lives in that airport, right?
I kind of get the feeling.
Yeah. He's putting records in there.
You don't see a bed or anything, but he lives in that airport.
And he's there at 6 o'clock in the morning when the movie ends.
Yep.
That's right.
So he never went home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's a big-ass airport. If he's the only one cleaning it, man, they better pay that motherfucker a lot. Damn.
He lives in the walls, dude.
Apparently.
I don't think he even is employed there. So.
No, he was again like Hugo.
Ooh,
he was just there one day.
Either that or he's a ghost.
Oh my god.
He's the ghost. Time. He's the ghost of Christmas Present there to help John McClane stop the terrorists.
Jesus Christ, it's all making sense.
Yeah.
It would have been so awesome if at the end he just turns into like snow and and flies away.
Oh, I love it.
I do love that shit. That's great.
That would be awesome.
The whole time. That's new really, canon.
Yeah. But getting back to whatever the hell we were talking about.
Well, what I was going to say is this is also when they finally, after what, 2 or 3 hours of a terrorist attack on a airport in the nation's capital.
Yep.
That somebody with some authority finally shows up.
Yeah. The army shows up. That's right.
Yeah.
Because you would think like 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
FBI, Army, CIA, Pentagon, like everybody.
And they probably
would have
had all the lights that you need to set up the runway.
Yeah. Something.
And then the different frequency.
I mean,
radios.
I know this is pre 9/11 and everything, but I still feel like you're literally
escort jets that will fly up and escort you down. And
you're a half an hour drive from the Pentagon?
If that.
Like, I feel like people show up.
Well, it's 1990. They were to send the fax. Yeah. By the time they get the fax.
Yeah, that's true. Faxes took their time.
You got to go through all the spam faxes.
By the time,
get me started on spam faxes. Yeah. Jesus.
By the time the horse rider that they had sent finally arrived with the message.
Paul Revere finally got to his destination.
He finally lights two lanterns.
Two lanterns. There's a problem at the airport.
Yeah.
We ride.
There's some trouble at the airport.
Oh, no.
Lassie showed up. Yeah. What's that girl? Yeah, yeah. Public airport.
Terrorists at the airport. Lead the way, girl. But yeah, like a platoon shows up and they're led by John Amos.
Yeah.
You know you've seen in movies.
Yep.
Obviously, well, I mean, we were talking about Coming to America
earlier. One of the more famous films.
He's the guy that looks
TV
like,
dad in
it
the
looks
70s.
Like he was a boxer for 40 years, but he wasn't a boxer for 40
years. But he probably could have been. He probably could have been. Yeah.
His face just looks kind of smashed to me.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe normal. Maybe he was a boxer. Who knows?
Maybe, yeah.
Or maybe
yeah,
he just
yeah.
got maybe beat just the fought fuck a lot. Up one day. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
He grew up in those mean New York streets.
Right.
I don't know where he's
from. I don't know.
Before one day, he finally made it to the big time in L.A. or whatever. Yep. Became an actor. But he's leading the charge to help, you know, with what's going on.
To catch him and stuff like that.
He's like a major from the army. He comes in with a battalion. Yeah,
they come and clean out. That's when he goes over to Marvin and does all that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like that part because McLean like gets to jump on them. He's like, I'm going to stop Franco Nero then.
Yeah.
Although, it would be cool if he would have shot him dead right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because then what's Sadler going to do? Yeah. He's going to like crash the planes?
I mean, he does shoot him like he probably would have.
I mean, he just misses. Yeah.
No, he shoots him in the arm, I think.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Right yeah. What I'm saying is he misses because he was clearly trying to kill him.
Also, Franco Nero gets shot in the arm. He goes through the whole movie being a fucking badass.
Yeah,
he
never
flies the plane at the end again.
That's right. Yeah, when they're trying to make their escape.
Again, the biggest badass in this movie is Franco Nero. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend here.
Let's not mince words. Yeah. Let's not lie to ourselves.
We all know
else.
Who should have.
Franco Nero's the motherfucking
We
shit.
All know who should have said yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, in this movie.
Oh, boy, Franco Nero. Seriously, folks, if you haven't yet, watch Django from the, like, 67 or whatever. It's a fucking badass Western.
It is pretty good.
Yeah, it's fucking
We haven't seen part 5. None of us did, right?
Oh, Die Hard? Yeah.
Die Hard 5?
I tapped out after 4.
We all tapped out after 4.
Oh, yeah. No, 4 was bad. And just looking at the trailers, like, no, I don't want to see this.
I wonder if he says yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, or if his son said it in, like, a funny, in quotations, little twist.
Probably.
Well, he's like, yippee-ki-yay, and then his son's like, motherfucker, and he's like, oh, I was
Well, they can't say motherfucker anymore, though. They're all PG-13. Yeah.
You get one fuck.
Oh, that's true. You do get one fuck.
I think you get one fuck, but not a motherfucker.
I imagine so, because in the 4th one, I remember they had to
take that out.
They had to take it out.
Wait, was part 4 PG-13 too?
Yes.
I don't remember.
It was.
Really?
Yes, it was. He says, yippee-ki-yay, mother, and then the gun shoots.
Yeah. That's the classic TV edit.
That's a TV. Yeah, it's a TV edit. Man, that's the airplane edit. You're watching on a plane or some shit. Come on.
Oh, speaking of airplane edits, I wanted so bad. We talked about this while watching the movie.
Oh,
because we keep cutting back to the airplanes in the air. How much better would this movie be if every time they cut back, it was just Airplane from the movie Airplane?
Yeah,
it was Leslie Nielsen.
A scene from
Leslie
an airplane,
Nielsen
yeah.
And,
the scene from like when the lady starts singing
jive
guitar
talking,
and she keeps pulling the...
Or the slapping the lady around.
Yeah, the panicking lady and shit, the jive scene. Oh, my God.
The little girl liking black men?
Yeah. It's like, I take my coffee the way I like my coffee, the way I like my man black.
Yeah.
The kids just looking at her
like,
damn.
Have you seen a grown man naked, Billy?
You like films about gladiators?
It would have brought just as much, more so than all the wife shit.
Yes.
Yeah, because then it'd have been funny. We would have seen some Leslie Nielsen in there.
Seriously, people, if you haven't seen Airplane, man, you're wasting your time. Watch Airplane. Classic comedy.
Yep.
One of the silliest movies you'll ever see, but it's just, exactly, that's the point. It's just enjoyable all the way through.
Yeah.
So then...
Start of an empire.
Yeah.
Jeffers of Ravens.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like it when McLean like uses the escape shoot thing, the eject thing.
Oh, yeah. The
they could have just like shot at him because he was coming down.
As
but you know, the cops show up and they're like,
well, it's not even the cops, it's the fire department.
The fire department shows
up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're like, well, we don't want to take on the fire department.
Yeah.
We're only trained soldiers with the MK like 47.
They have hoses and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
We got fire axes. Let's get out of here.
Those hoses do some damage.
Fire axes.
Yeah.
They got Dalmatians and stuff.
Let's get the hell out of here.
They'll sick the dogs on us.
Get out of here.
We out. So they take off to like the church where
they're running everything.
Yeah, they got like there's a church nearby. They make it their base.
Johnny Legs is still there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, blinker, you'll miss him, folks. Seriously, Jesus.
So they two lines.
Yeah, damn.
McLean follows them over there while the army shits. All the army people are doing the army shit while they're trying to figure out how to land the planes. While the reporter guy is pointlessly talking to the news now.
And fucking
hands
up.
Yeah.
Well, it's just so that they can cause a panic in the airport and stakes can be raised.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Thanks to him being a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
Also,
well, and it's also because they wanted that scene again where she gets to one-up him.
Yeah.
In the first movie, of course, it's at the very end when she punches him in the face.
Yeah, so she gets to do it again with the taser.
But with a taser.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Killing him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of fun,
immediately killing him.
It looks like it. Yeah. Fuck. So all that's happening. So McClane goes to the church to check things out, and he ends up fighting meat from Porky. Right.
And kills him in the best way.
Oh, so the best kill death. In the movie. Classic.
Yeah, this is the best. If right? We should start giving best kill awards.
Yeah. This is one
best
of them.
Best kill in the movie. Well, at least when we do action movies. We should do like best kill, best kiss.
Best kiss,
maybe,
yeah.
Best one-liner or something.
Yeah.
But he's fighting Meat, and Meat is pretty much kicking his ass, it looks like, at this point.
I mean, Meat's a big guy.
He's a big guy.
He Although he looks, a tall guy. He looks smaller in this than he does in Porky's movies.
Yeah. He's slimmed down from Porky's,
But, like, McClane plucks an icicle off of the side of the building and just slams it in his eye.
Straight through the eye.
Yeah. And it's really done well. No CG.
The perfect crime, because then it's going to melt, and they're going to be like, what killed him?
How happened? Yeah.
Well, it looks like something got in his eye, but there's nothing here. This is a damnedest thing.
It's like a Columbo
episode out here.
Right in the middle.
It'll only take one Officer Columbo, Detective Columbo, to solve this.
He's the only one who could.
All right, Mr. McClane, but one more thing.
One more thing, Mr. McClane.
I just got one more thing.
And McClane be like, you got me, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Goddamn right. But yeah, I mean, it's a really well-done scene. You know, practical effects, of course, and everything. It just,
oh, we
like,
get a snow...
Oh, yes.
A jet ski.
This is another thing we talked about while watching the movie. Because, yeah, there's a snowmobile chase scene that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was a staple through the 80s and 90s. Yeah. Snowmobile chase scenes. You got them in James Bond.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Like four James Bonds.
There's one in Jackie Chan's James Bond. First Strike.
Probably. Yeah, Jackie Chan's
First Strike. Was that technically Police Story like 4 or something?
It turns out it was Police Story 4, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, First Strike has an awesome fucking snowmobiles chase scene.
Yep.
They don't
Both the Broads, the Bronson Bonds, and the Moore Bonds have snowmobile chase scenes.
Pretty much.
Yep.
It's a you said it's a staple.
And I haven't seen one in 20 years.
Oh, we
actually think of. I take that back. Inception.
Oh yeah,
was Inception.
There's one in Inception.
Oh, that's right.
That's when they're in the final ring or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
But it's kind of. Yeah.
It's shorter. It's much shorter.
It's shorter, and it's not. Yeah, it's not the main part of it.
Yeah, that's actually kind of like side stuff to compare to what's going on.
And they're not as prevalent as they were back, like you
definitely
said.
Definitely.
The 80s are probably the 90s a bit, but
I haven't seen a really really good one since I was playing with my G.I. Joes.
Oh, that was a great one. Oh my god,
I remember that one. I remember that one.
Edge of my seat the whole time. Oh my god,
it's good.
I didn't think he was gonna make it.
Yeah.
No,
I didn't think he was gonna make it. Oh,
that's why I had that one G.I. Joe that was missing both legs, because then he would be the one that, in the explosion and
of
shit.
Of course,
yeah,
it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a really good one. But before that, the SWAT team that show or the soldiers that show up and McClane all have a shootout with the guys in the terrorists in the church, and they pretty much all get away.
Yeah,
and he gives chase, and McClane at one point starts shooting at one of the guys on the snowmobile, and he finds something out of kind of a bit of a twist that leads to a bigger twist. It turns out the military guys that showed up to help are shooting blanks.
And how does this get revealed?
All right, in the hilarious scene.
Oh,
this is really good.
He shows up. Fucking what's his name from the NYPD Blue?
Dennis Franz
is like, he's like, what are you talking about, McClane? He's like, let me show you. And he gets a machine gun and he unloads the clip on him.
There's like eight cops pointing guns at him.
Yeah. They all pull guns at him and they all not shoot him while he's unloading a fucking machine gun into Franz.
I mean, even
and also like four other cops.
And I mean, obviously it shows. Okay, they are blanks and stuff, but still. They're not going to register that right away.
No.
He's shooting at him. They would have started popping him off right there, man. McClane would have been
right
done.
Away.
John McClane should have died in that
end of movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
End of movie. End of series. End of franchise.
And
That's
I was
it.
Like, oh, there were blanks. He was trying to prove to... Ah, oh, shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, which one of
we
us...
We shot him dead.
Yeah. Which one of us... Man. Which one of our bullets
is
the one that killed
him? I mean, it's that... It's
all
that,
of us. We all shot him.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, but it's that... it's like the firing squad thing where the only one of the people has the actual kill shot. But the 10 don't know who it was.
Yeah,
so you could always just be like, well, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
I never killed anybody.
And then they probably just throw him in the runway and they're like, oh, the terrorist got him. Oh, no. Oh,
man, he was our only hope. Shit.
Superhero cop McClane.
Exactly.
No.
Definitely afterwards, you're like, that fucking William Sandler.
Oh, no. The general, whatever, colonel.
Yeah. Colonel dude guy. Whatever.
Yeah.
Colonel jackass.
Yeah. Yeah, but, it's a very funny, ridiculous scene.
It's kind of funny, but, you know, it's one of the over-top things from the action movies back then.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, yeah,
it's fun.
A cool thing.
Yeah, it was funny.
And it proves the point. Oh, they're in cahoots or something. As it turns out, the soldiers that show up that were supposed to help, they're in cahoots with Sadler and them.
Because he's a colonel.
Yeah, exactly.
And they served together.
Yeah. So they learned together. So, of course, they're in cahoots.
Just like in every movie about terrorists, it's always just us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Turns out it's never Arabs, it was always us. Yeah. Never disgruntled weirdos living in a van.
Heaven, it's always
just the cops or military.
Yeah. I mean, it goes way back.
It's almost like Hollywood has a certain point of view on these things.
Yeah.
Damnest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What the? Yeah. What?
If it wasn't for the selling arms to the fucking, like,
everybody?
Yeah, the Oliver North stuff or whatever.
It would be pretty funny because they, the whole time, you might be wondering, why are these people trying to help this, like, I don't know, where he's not from Colombia. They never say where he's from. But
they say where he's from, but it's like a fictional country.
It's a fictional country.
Yeah,
whatever.
I missed it. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Cocaineville, South America general, why are they trying to help this guy? And the only line you hit is him saying something about
he's fighting communists. He's the only one fighting communists or some shit, and it's weird. There's no motivation for Sadler. I think not really.
Maybe money, but he doesn't really talk.
They don't talk about money. Yeah, the guy doesn't have money. He's being extradited. He's not coming with money.
Yeah, they really just do.
I mean, I don't
like,
think he's
going to
roll back into the country with 20 Americans and suddenly take it over.
Hell no.
And he's not doing the like chaos thing, like the Joker or like even like Tommy Lee Jones and like the Blown Away.
Yeah,
where he's just like an IRA guy,
or even in The Rock with Ed Harris, where at least he's trying to like I don't know prove something about.
The way we treat
the soldiers or whatever.
Yeah, like that. There's nothing like that in
it's like
the
he just wants to be a dick.
Is muddled.
Yeah.
He's it's just weird. Helping this guy. Maybe he just likes a guy.
Maybe he just likes drugs. But no, what I was going to say is, I mean, obviously we know that America had a lot of dealings down there with some shady shit. Yeah. Yep. It would have been interesting if they just were like bros. It was like, hey, remember that time when I helped you take over that country and we did like 8 miles of coke and fucked like 14 hookers?
You know what? Yeah. Who knows? That could be it. They just don't mention it.
I don't know. Well, I want to see it. I want to see the 14 hookers and the lines of coke.
I want to see like a flashback with like young them, and you know it's young them because they have like mustaches and long hair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They just have sideburns.
Yeah, they have sideburns
and bell bottoms and shit. The '70s. They're just dancing up slow mo in some disco in
wherever. That's how you know they're young.
Yep. Yeah. And they obviously got a little bit of white stuff underneath it.
Yep. Of course. Young girls, titties out.
But man, they're living it up.
And then I'll be like, oh, it's because they're fucking bros. They used to smash together.
They used to smash together.
Right, they did the A-frame more than a few times.
Exactly. Yeah, that high-five A-frame. You can't. Then once you high-five A-frame, that's a bond for life.
That's Blood Brothers shit right there, man.
So anyway, they end up on the plane. They're getting away.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to get away.
Bruce Willis sees the reporter enter the helicopter.
Yeah, they give chase in a helicopter.
And Bruce Willis is like, hey, get in front of that plane. The helicopter pilot wisely is like, fuck!
No. Nah, son. Nah.
He's like, I'm a hero cop. And it's like, get the fuck out, man. I don't care.
Fuck you, dude. Yeah, but you can kind of agree with.
Bruce Willis jumps out of the helicopter onto the plane.
Yeah, he has him get close enough.
I like this part because he jumps onto the plane onto the wing. Yeah. And they see him and they're like, whoa, when we take off, they're not like that. When we take off, he'll fly off.
Well, but what he does is smartly, he stuffs his coat in the
part of the flaps of the wing.
Yeah, that's right, so he can't take off.
Yeah, so they're not able to take off. I mean... Franco Nero's again. He's the pilot because he's
and they can't
he's
shoot him because the lines, the
they're worried about blowing up.
They could fuck up the wing, or they could just straight up blow it the fuck up. Which they got to be careful. So they got to go out.
And we've already seen two planes. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. We've only seen one plane so far. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
We've only seen one plane blow up almost immediately. Yeah,
pretty much. So John Amos and William Sadler have to go out there and settle his hash. John Amos goes out there first.
And he dies a cool death.
Somehow
Bruce Willis got back up on top of the airplane so he could jump onto John Amos.
Yeah,
and
how
start
do
fighting.
Climb on top of the?
I don't know.
It's a slick round metal.
I have no idea. For a second he gravity off or switched it off or something.
He got sticky hands.
I guess so.
Bruce Willis is Spider-Man.
He got sticky hands.
I believe that. But yeah, he jumps on. They fight, and John Amos slips and. He's like, he hangs on the edge of the coolest.
Well, he gets kicked right into the.
Pretty much, he almost falls into the jet engine, but he's hanging on for dear life. But it's to no fucking avail. Those things can suck you in hard.
You've seen 14 people die that way. Was it realistic?
Extremely, yes.
And the planes were perfectly fine afterwards, right?
Yeah. If I know anything from Sully, is he hit two geese and the fucking plane crashed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the a bit of a part of the plane had to be washed thoroughly.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was fine. Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
John so, Amos, but, no but, problem.
Yeah, we have an airport expert here.
Yep. Sort of.
Yeah,
confirmed. He's like, oh, it's a
I mostly work with luggage and clean the planes. But yeah, I mean...
you clean all the fucking body parts.
All the bits. Yeah. And, there's a lot, you know, a lot more teeth than I thought there would be. Damnest thing.
They make it through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Resilient.
Yep.
Unless you bite into like a fucking burger wrong or something, fucking who knows.
Or popcorn.
But yeah, exactly. But yeah, John Amos gets sucked in, splattered. It's like, damn, nasty.
Very cool.
But the engine's fine and the plane is still going.
Yeah, still going.
Okay.
Sadler goes up.
It's time for the big fight. Yep. Sadler and fucking Bruce Willis.
I wish Sadler would have been naked for this.
It would have. He should have. Because I think he doesn't. He grabs the knife. I know. Does he take off his jacket? Because it would have been cool if he just totally like
took his clothes.
Oh, I don't think he did actually. That would have been dope. I don't think he did because it would have been cold out there anyway. But now they're on a fucking wing on a plane moving.
Yeah, but he's such a psycho. He's like, exactly. He's like, okay, you know,
it's the intimidation factor.
Yeah.
If you're John McClane on the wing of this plane. Yeah. And suddenly this guy stops and is like, no, I'm going to get naked to fight you.
He's got that psycho warmth.
I give up.
Okay,
man.
That makes sense.
Up.
Raging hard on.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck is this guy going to do?
You know what? I'm not fighting a guy with raging hard on. Yeah. I'm just going to jump off this wing. Yep. You guys won.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys fucking won. You earned it. Go to wherever you're going. Peace out.
That's the most terrifying thing I've ever heard.
Yep.
Like being there, you're like, I'm going to fight this guy. And he just takes his clothes off and he's got a hard on and it's like -2 degrees out.
But naked is bad enough.
Like, he's not human.
But naked is bad enough. Yeah. But if he's going full mast, no, he's won. Without even throwing a punch or anything, that motherfucker won. Okay. He's
not a human.
You lost. Just accept it.
It's a middle of the blizzard and you're going, I don't know, 50 miles per hour?
Probably more chill. Than that.
Yeah.
Because the plane's got to go really fast so it can take off anyway.
His dick is just turning into fucking ice.
Yeah.
It would be awesome if he's got all his clothes on and then like the light kind of like goes and comes back and then he's naked.
Just instantly, classic, just like,
Oh God, no. Oh God, no. McLean is like, oh God, please no.
No, fuck that. You guys won, I'm out.
I'm out. It just rolls out.
Yeah.
But you didn't see what I see, man. Yeah. You didn't see what I see.
No, trust me. Those motherfuckers won. If you saw what I just saw.
Yeah.
Hats off to them, though. Yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah. But that's not what happens. They do have a fight. Sadler pulls out a knife and shit. Yeah. But something cool happens. Yeah. But so, like, McLean is, like, holding on to the knife, trying to make sure he doesn't get stabbed and stuff. But he actually takes, he gets Sadler's fingers in his mouth at one point and bites off his fucking, his thumb?
Yeah.
Was it thumb? It bites off his fucking thumbs like that. But Sadler, okay, of course he yells in pain. Who wouldn't?
But
he keeps fighting.
He keeps fist fighting.
Motherfucker. Yeah,
with no thumb. With
motherfucker's no thumb. Like, oh, okay.
You can't
right,
even make a proper fist without the thumb.
Yeah, exactly. But God bless him, he tries.
Yeah.
So McLean falls off the side.
But at the same time, he managed to open the, I don't know, fuel.
The fuel. The
yeah,
fuel.
He falls off. He grabs onto the fuel thing. He opens it. Yeah. It's spilling fuel off.
Yep.
McLean gets his
We've already seen
out.
He is
Sadler
a,
goes back he, in. He knows he's won.
He has been smoking throughout this entire movie in airports,
like
in planes.
Man.
Yeah, in planes and airports, like everywhere, bathrooms, daycare centers.
That's right.
Probably in the middle of fucking, I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably
in front of pregnant women.
Gas stations.
Pretty much.
The kerosene factory that he was in.
Oh, he didn't give a fuck. He strolled through there. And you know what? Nothing happened.
He was smoking through that whole thing. Yeah, exactly.
You know what he was doing.
Doctor's offices.
You know what he was doing.
Cancer patient words, all that.
In the middle of his surgery, he didn't give a fuck. Yeah. Hey, doc, make sure you take that out too. It looks bad.
Yeah,
okay.
Dropping ashes everywhere.
Drop the ashes in the wound.
It's good for you. If it's good for your lungs, it's good for the whole.
It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
But yeah, so he pulls out his lighter, lights the fuel on fire, which lights the plane on fire in an awesome sequence.
And an awesome sequence where all the bad guys die.
Bad guys are like, you see like the rest of the soldiers and stuff, they're in the back, they're celebrating, they're gonna go to something.
Yeah, they're smoking cigars.
I mean, I do wish they would have cut to one, like, somebody, Franco Nero,
Sadler,
whoever, just like, well, I guess we got away. Or, you know, just that one.
I wish he.
It's all gravy from here.
You can
tell
that's what they're feeling.
Sadler sits down and he's like, I kind of out of breath and stuff. And then the guy next to him gives him a cigar and he's like, you got a light? And then the fire comes out.
Missed opportunity. Screenwriters, where the fuck were you on that one?
And then the whole plane explodes.
Kaboom. Of course, right after Bruce Willis goes, yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers. And,
obviously, because, again, it's a sequel, so you've got to...
Then, my second favorite part of this movie, where all the planes land based on the crash of the last plane.
Yeah, and the line of fire from the
flaming wreckage.
Hey, you can't argue with results. It worked.
Where do we land? Also, we land where that plane crashed.
Yeah. And the trail of fire.
And the trail of fire, exactly.
Hey, fuck it, it worked, man. Yep. It was the only thing that was going to work.
Also, I love the fact that
all 18 of them.
Yeah, because by that plane, planes land on the same strip all at once.
Yeah.
Also,
but by that time, the planes are on fuel. They have to land, otherwise they're gonna fucking. They're like, also one guy says they're 10
minutes away from daybreak.
Probably, yeah.
Because
right?
after
yeah.
they land, he shows up in his daytime now. So if it would have just hung out for another 10 minutes, it would have been able to see everything.
God, they didn't have 10 minutes.
They didn't have that. No, right. They didn't have it. No. Otherwise, like one of the characters says, they would have been landing in the White House,
like in flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
If Denzel Washington can do it,
yeah. Well,
God damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, Denzel.
So anyway, that's the end of the movie.
That's the end of the movie. Yeah, he reunites with his wife and everything. Yeah. He's all beaten up, just like the end of the first one.
Dennis Franz rips up his parking ticket from the beginning of the movie, finally giving us the closure to the storyline that we really cared about. What happened to that parking ticket?
Yep. Yeah, what happened to that car that got towed?
Yeah, whatever. Never mind the $40 parking ticket.
Never mind the 1,000 people that got killed. What's going on with that fucking parking ticket, man?
You can't expect Bruce Willis to pay that $40.
Is he going to have to pay
on a cop salary?
Shit. No fucking way. No way.
No.
But happy ending all around. Happy ending all around. Dennis Franz turns out to be a pretty good dude.
Yeah.
Tears it up and says, hey, it's Christmas. Roll credits. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Again, his life is garbage. So this is pretty nice for him.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
It's a pretty sweet time for him.
It's the second time he's had to deal with fucking terrorists for Christmas. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He was due.
Yeah.
He was due.
Now that we've finished the movie, let's do what we always do and fix this movie. Ninja Turtles, and now it's April O'Neil, and the girl that played April O'Neil is a reporter.
Much hotter.
Very hot. Yeah. Exactly. And Ninja Turtles.
And are we taking McClane out altogether, or is this a Batman meets the Ninja Turtles situation where they're all
Batman
in it together?
Batman meets the Ninja Turtles. They're all in it together. Yeah. But also, Ninja Turtles just kind of fucking around and eating pizza and shit. They're not really... They're there for they're the not really kicking.
Invested.
Yeah. So they're there for, like, the scene where they fight the
guys, well, so like, obviously... Yeah. So now the soldiers... They're no longer soldiers. They're ninjas.
Oh, they're the foot soldiers.
They're the foot soldiers. They're foot soldiers now.
Yeah, why not? Exactly. Of course, Shredder would be in cahoots with some South American drug lord.
He's no longer a South American drug lord. Ooh. He's a ancient ninja master.
Oh,
and if Shredder learns his secrets, he will be unstoppable. Or a weird half slug man.
Weird half slug man.
Shredder teamed up a lot with weird half animal things.
That's true. He's a brain really and a body.
Didn't have much of a robot body.
Yeah.
Just a giant brain or a fucking rat guy.
Rhino guy.
A guy that controlled a bunch of little robots.
A giant brain that was from space, right? Yeah. He's an alien.
Kang, yeah.
Yeah.
He's an alien,
from space, right? Yeah.
It's a space brain.
Some of that, yeah.
Yeah. He would just team up with weird half dudes.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them were turtles.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah,
fuck it, Ninja Turtles. Fuck it, why not? Let's throw some ninja. I mean, they were hot as fuck back then.
They were hot,
right?
As fuck.
That was during the middle of their fucking reign. True. You know, I mean, shit.
They had a cartoon. They had a hit movie.
They could have just been friends.
Badass
with the
arcade
game.
Badass arcade game.
Oh, hell yeah!
Love that fucking game. Oh my god.
Was there
a Die Hard game too? Did anyone play the Die Hard game?
I think I seen it. But I can't remember if I played it. I know there was one. There was an arcade. There was a PS1.
Wow.
Which might have been based on the arcade, but I can't remember.
Was a PS1 game?
There was.
For Die Hard?
There was. Holy I remember shit. Seeing it. I never played
it. Was with a Vengeance at that point, right?
I don't think. Well, it might have come out around that time, maybe, but I...
Well, I mean, they had that Reservoir Dogs game for the...
Oh, PS2. My God, they did,
that was
right?
in the early 2000s.
That was a cool game. I mean, it was only like a 4-hour game, but that was a cool game.
I remember it being interesting. All right. Yeah.
You just do the other lines, the other storylines that you don't see in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. The heist and getting away and shit. That's right.
You take some cops hostage and shit.
Yeah.
So famously, this movie is, or the first movie rather, Die Hard 1, based on a book.
It was a 1966 book.
With an old man that was supposed to be played by Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. So
now it's 1990. Frank Sinatra's almost dead.
Yeah.
Well, what if he's John McClane, though?
He died like in the early 90s or something. Right? So, Sinatra died like in the early 90s.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's almost dead.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Basically, you almost made Die Hard in the 60s?
The 70s.
Like,
or
no, this was like in the 80s.
He was supposed to be an old man. John McClane's supposed to be an old man.
He's supposed to be an old man. And at the time, he had made The Detective, which is a great movie, by the way, which is he's an old detective guy.
But it's the same character,
chasing
right?
Chasing a serial killer. Uh-huh. It's the same character.
Yeah.
And then
based on the same series of novels.
So McClane came from a series of novels?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of like the Parker novels.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Yeah.
And How then so they wanted him for it because he already played that same character, so they wanted him for the Die Hard
movie. Plus, he's Frank Sinatra.
Plus, he's Frank Sinatra.
He's old Blue Eyes
himself. He's the chairman of the board.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Also, if you don't give him the part, the mob will kill you.
Yeah.
You better give
him the part. Also, what board? What board was he the chairman of?
The mob. The rest of the Rat Pack. I think that was
they're
it.
Not a conglomerate. Like, why is he the chairman of the board?
Hey, they were a conglomerate of entertainment.
They're just a bunch of swinging cats, man. There's no board there. Hey. He should have been like the leader of the alley or something like that.
I like that.
He kind of was, yeah.
The Tomcat, yeah. It's weird to make him the chairman of the board. He's not like a business.
I mean,
so I knew this was based on a book, but I didn't know it was a series, and I didn't know Sinatra was
briefly attached to it. Yeah.
So, but he played McLean in another movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it was called McLean. I think they changed the name.
It was a detective.
Probably. It was a detective,
yeah.
Happens all the time.
And which is
Parker. Yeah, exactly.
He's just a cop chasing a serial killer.
Because in the Payback, they don't call him Parker, right?
No, yeah. Like, I think the movie
Payback, they call him Porter.
Yeah.
Porter, that's right.
And I saw the Lee Marvin one. They call him Parker. No, they call him something else.
Oh, Jesus.
The only time they call him Parker is in the...
Is in Parker?
The Statham one.
The Jason Statham one. Yeah. Which is based on another one of the novels.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
and also the worst one of all of them.
Yeah.
I thought it was decent. I liked it.
Yeah, but compared to the other ones.
Well, yeah, compared to Payback, Point Blank... Point Blank was okay.
Yeah,
I did see it recently. I liked it, but I wasn't crazy about it.
Yeah.
I wasn't crazy about it, but yeah, like... Payback is still pretty good.
Yeah.
Payback's, yeah.
Parker was alright.
Payback is best.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fun as fuck. Mel Gibson, man.
Yeah, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And every other 6'4" guy in that fucking movie, they're all gray. Great. Anyway, I think we fixed this movie by...
Yeah.
We fixed this movie by watching Payback.
By talking about Frank Sinatra.
That's right. Yeah.
But I do think putting Frank Sinatra in... It would have been awesome if it's Die Hard 2 and Frank Sinatra's the main character. People would have been like, what the fuck happened to Bruce Willis?
That would have been really funny.
Like, no, this originally we wanted to do. Yeah. Anyway, it's a thing. So
we're going to do it. Just eat your popcorn and watch the movie. You already paid your ticket. What do you care?
What if it starts with Bruce Willis getting the ticket, his car getting impounded, and he's like, well, I guess I got to go get my car out of impound, and then Frank Sinatra walks in. And we just follow him the rest of the movie.
Or they could have done like a Last Crusade type of deal where Frank Sinatra's like his dad.
Snap, son!
Right? I just solved it.
Frank Sinatra's his dad, and now they're...
Two McLeans for... It's Die Hard 2.
Two McLeans! They're Die Hard 2, of course!
Oh.
Another missed opportunity.
I didn't think we were going to fix this movie correctly.
But we suddenly... We somehow corrected Lee.
He would have been his smooth dad who also was a cop and stuff, but he's still all kinds of one-liners and shit.
Double the one-liners. Double the flirting with the airport attendant.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, she would have gone with Sinatra.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have cared how old he was.
Issues and complexes and shit.
Probably. Just like there's a little bit of that in Indiana Jones and Last Crusade.
Yeah, exactly. All that.
They both fucked the same lady just like Indiana Jones.
Hell yeah.
Goddamn right. Yeah.
And I'll bet you Sean Connery was a better one of the two.
Oh! Yeah.
Badass motherfucker.
And also, Sean Connery is probably... Frank Sinatra would have been the one that opens the fuel hatch while Bruce Willis is fighting.
Exactly.
And then he's like, you let him go to win!
Then Frank Sinatra lights the match and... Like Bruce Willis has
from
to jump off
from his cigar. Yeah. Dad, you let him get away.
Bruce Willis. Sees
no, I didn't.
The flame
throws it. Yeah. Oh, great.
Kaboom.
That's good. That's good.
We fixed this movie hardcore.
We goddamn nailed it.
God damn it. I really wish that's how it happened. Shit.
Oh, I know.
Let's remake Die Hard 2. Only Die Hard 2, though.
We got the CGI for it.
Only
Die Hard 2. Yeah.
Fuck it.
We're not going to remake Die Hard 1. We're not going to touch
Definitely
any
not
of them.
1 and 3 because they're the best.
They're great. 4 and 5, I don't even want to bother with those. Fuck those. They're trash. No. They're not worth the time.
Neil Blomkamp is going to come back in 10 years and be like, I want to skip over 3 and 4. I mean, 4 and 5. Yeah.
I'm going to do a direct sequel to 3.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. So that's the end of the podcast, I think, right?
That's the end of the podcast. Yeah. Die Hard 2, 2 McLeans. Frankie Sinatra.
Yeah. It's still good. Not as good as 3. Not as good as 1.
Well,
still pretty
actually,
solid.
Better than I remembered. Like a really solid action movie.
And 1,000 times better than 3, than 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, we assume on 5. Yeah. But yeah.
The action in this movie itself is really
good.
And also letting Bruce Willis just say whatever the fuck he wants, which apparently is what happened.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
He's a bit of a sass mouth.
Yeah. He's a witty guy.
He had a run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
He was the voice of that baby.
He was the voice of that baby.
He was talking. Yeah. God damn. Well.
And he was the voice of a generation. That generation, the blockbuster nostalgia generation.
5 movies.
That's right.
That generation, 4 solid movies.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nah, like 7.
Like 7. Like 6 or 7. Yeah.
By the way, actually, if you want to see another action movie with Bruce Willis that's way better than 4 and 5, watch Last Man Standing.
Hell's it's a fucking amazing movie.
Way better. Yeah. It's got it's way better than either one of those two. If you put them two, those two combined, it's way better than that mess that it would be.
That's true. Last Night Standing is a dope movie. Watch it.
Fuck yeah. Good
stuff. All right. So that's the end of the show. Thanks so much, Nathan, for joining us. Thanks, Nathan, for being on the show.
For bringing your airport air expertise on this one.
Yeah, totally.
So everything, everything again, totally 100% accurate to the airport life.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. I mean, I remember the first working there, I thought I was on the set of Die Hard, too, frankly. Yeah. I was like,
there were McLeans left and right.
Yeah. Oh, everywhere. I mean,
just like the janitor in this movie, you live at the airport.
Yeah, that's where you live now.
Yeah, kind of have to hit a rough patch. And, well, thankfully, there's a room that nobody uses. That I'm just bringing my shit in. And so
called the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'll tell you this. I'm never late for work.
There you go.
I just go down the hall. I'm there.
Cool. Take a horse bath, go down the hall. And there you go.
I'm good to go. Good to go. God bless the horse bath.
So we'll be back next week. Yeah. Remember to like, subscribe, tell your friends, share. Email us at blockbustersdolja@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
This is Nathan LaMadrid.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.